7 o'clock tonight, it's the Browns at the Panthers. And, you know, if you're listening to the game, you're listening to 92.3 The Fan on the Browns Radio Network right here. If you happen to have your eyeballs on the game, then the voice you know you'll be hearing is a super friend of this show, the pride of Shaker Heights and University School. And you know him from, NFL Network, John Boy Media, you name it, game shows galore. He is the man, the myth, the legend. He is Chris Rose, and I'm looking forward to his coverage tonight on the Browns preseason television network. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hello, gentlemen.
What was my 45-minute introduction to you, my friend?
Oh, this is too long. Too long. Let's cut it down.
All right, we'll go 44 minutes next time. Sounds good. My friend, I got to tell you, a lot of times I'm not looking forward to watching preseason games. This is a game I am looking forward to seeing tonight. How are you feeling about it, my friend?
Yeah, I think you can get in line on that one, Andy. You know, it's so interesting because I can never remember a prospect that has been at the forefront of conversation for 6 months straight, right? I mean, yeah. Going into the draft, it was, how high is he going to go? Is he top five? Is he 10? Like, are the Steelers going to get him later in the first round? And then right around the draft, it went to, oh, man, he might not be in the first. No, he can't be in the first round. And then the Giants trade back into the first round. It's got to be for Shador, and it's Jackson Dart. And then we get the first. Like, it all started with that. And then it gets to this, and what is – has become in part because the Browns drafted two quarterbacks in a three-round span. And so you're not just comparing Shador to the rest of the quarterback situation and an organization that's been searching for a quarterback for the better part of three-plus decades. But now you have a direct comparison, right? Guys who had been at multiple schools, who had both been successful in college, who put up gaudy stats, who played on our TVs every Saturday, like, It really is incredible how this has gone.
How would you define this start as a success for Shador?
I think looking like he belongs and feeling like the game is not too big for him. Now, some people will say, hold on. I mean, for God's sakes, he is a star, which is true. He's been at the forefront of our brains ever since he got to college. And, you know, built winning programs with his father and with the help of several other big name players. I don't want to boil it down to, you know, making it so simple, but yeah, he just has to look like he belongs. There's been a lot of times where guys get to this stage, having even played well in college, and it's a different game. It is just a different game. So, you know, you hope that he's able to slow it down, that whatever checks they do have, that he nails those. And you want it to look like a fluid offense instead of a 16-year-old getting and driving a stick shift for the first time ever, if they still have those.
True. I think they do, don't they? I think there's got to be some old ones out there,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. My buddy made his daughter learn how to drive sticks to the net where he could guarantee that no other kid would drive her car.
Oh, that's a great idea. Well, that's good parenting right there. Who's he going to be able to throw to tonight? And when, what wide receivers are you looking forward to watching? I know there's a kid from Mentor that we all kind of like around here, and I think a lot of people are rooting for him.
Yeah, Luke Florey, why not? Let's go. Go
why
get it.
Not? Yes.
He's reportedly had a very, very good camp. Talked to a few coaches who said keep your eyeballs on him. You know, Gage Larvadan is another one, another smallish receiver that, you know, he played at multiple schools, including Miami University for a quick pit stop and then finished at South Carolina. He's number 84. You'll want to watch him. I think you'll see some Deontay Johnson. So for, you know, all the people, and Andy, I saw your clip out there, I believe, about the sabotaging. I mean, it is the most ridiculous of all the things I've heard. And I will give people leeway, because I do think that it can be a little bit confusing when you've been a Browns fan and the quarterback situation. There's been some highs and a lot of lows, and so we're all searching for the right answer. But out of all of the things I have heard, and including from some people that might appear inside of the rectangle on your wall,
yes,
that the team is doing a disservice to him. Folks, he is a fifth-round quarterback, whether you like it or not, and so this is just what comes with the territory in preseason. Some teams start their starters for a series or two, like the Panthers are expected to do tonight. They're not going to play the whole game,
but right.
They're going to play a drive or two, and then they're going to put in their backups. And, you know, so maybe Shador struggles for the first drive or two, and then he plays better. You know, I mean, the Browns aren't rooting for this kid to do poorly. They want him to do well. They really do. Now, you can have arguments or discussions or whatever you want as to how they've handled it so far and what their reasons are for divvying up the reps the way that they have. But as far as tonight goes, for God's sakes, you know what? He's got an opportunity. Go run with it. Do the best you can. And we'll talk about it afterward.
Now I'm worried about what rant is out there. I don't even know. Were we on the same page then for that? Because that sounds pretty close. Go play.
Just go, right.
Yeah.
And he sees it. We talked to him yesterday. That's what he's saying. He's like, yeah, I'm excited to go play. I want to go play football. You know, he's been famous for a long time. And he's had the Sanders last name his entire life, I do believe. I'll double check that before the broadcast tonight.
Good call.
Thanks.
Even if you're not, don't let the facts get in the way. We're not doing news anymore. We're having fun.
So, you know, at the end of the day, when they snap it, it's football. And nobody's going to hit him harder because he's Deion Sanders' kid or all that stuff. Those guys want to try and make an impression for their coaches, too. I can't wait to see how it all unfolds.
I'm glad you're saying it, Chris, because it's exactly how I've been feeling through this whole thing. You get the narrative out there that it's a lose-lose. It's like, forget that nonsense. This is a win-win for him. If he shows up and throws well, then, hey, we're having a different conversation at camp. If he plays poorly, we throw our hands up in the air and go, hey, fifth-round developmental quarterback. He just needs more time.
Right. I think what it comes down to, guys, are how do you view him? Would anybody, even the most ardent supporter of Shador Sanders, and I'm rooting for him, because he plays for the team I love. I want to see him do well. I want to see him put pressure on the team. But also, he might not be ready to start week one. It is hard to do that in this league. And just because he played well in Colorado doesn't mean that he's necessarily ready for the NFL game week one. So what is the matter with bringing quarterbacks along slowly? Now, do I think we'll see him on the field at some point this year? I think it's possible. Do I think we'll see Dylan Gabriel on the field at some point this year? I think there's a better chance of that. I don't know for a fact. Nobody's told me that, but I think so. And will they have an assessment in time for the 2026 draft when they have two first-round picks? I sure hope so.
Chris, I'm just curious your take on starters playing in these games and not, because we see some teams do it, some teams don't. You know, Kevin's not a big fan of it. Joe Burrow did play. We saw what happened in Indianapolis. I was just like, what's your thoughts on starters getting time in these preseason games?
Well, I understand why Cincinnati did it. You know, under Zach Taylor, they are 1-11 in the first two games of a season. So they had to shake something up. And when Joe Burrow says he wants to play, I mean, you go play. I mean, let him go do it. But I do think a lot of these joint practices have kind of changed where coaches are. Kevin made a point of saying that, you know, our first team guys got a lot of work with Carolina, and this is before the first preseason game. So, you know, he didn't want to subject them to a lot of hitting on Wednesday and then again on Friday. He just didn't want to do it, in part because then they've got two heavy practices next week against the Eagles before another preseason game on Saturday. So they're all doing it just to figure out how their teams can best be ready for week one. You know, for the first 5 years of the Kevin Stefanski era, they did not tackle in training camp. Well, last year was last year. We all know what happened. And he changed things up. I mean, you have to change things up to fit your franchise with what's best. Sean McVay never plays his guys. He barely plays his second stringers, if any. You'll see third stringers in that third game against the Browns in week three of the preseason. So, and his team, like last year, they got out of the gate slow. They started 1-4. They finished as the only team that could give the Philadelphia Eagles a run for their money in the playoffs. So everybody's different. That stuff doesn't bother me.
Chris Rose joining us on the Fan Hotline. You'll hear him on the TV broadcast today. Chris, let's go to your other job, which, of course, is Baseball Today on John Boy Media, and, of course, the bullpen discussions, or dugout discussions as well. You can catch the podcast as well. Guards are on a hot streak right now. It's really nice to see, only six games back of the Detroit Tigers at this point. Do you think the Central was within reaching distance, or is that such a pipe dream that we should forget it?
Well, I wouldn't forget it, but I think it's still a long, long journey. We do have two more series with them, but it's not until the last 2 weeks of the year. So, listen, if they're four or five games back, you know, let's say they're three or four games at that point, then it could get really interesting. But I do think that they're a part of this wild card, and I will be the first to admit I'm shocked. I am shocked. I actually visited with them in the middle of that 10-game losing streak. I got them the day after Ortiz got put on whatever list he's on. And I think they were pretty shaken, and they were in the middle of not playing well, and I thought it was going to go sideways in a hurry. And then I was actually doing Baseball Today when the Class A news broke, and I was shocked. I couldn't believe this was going on. And I know that people, for whatever, you know, people have their issues with Stephen Vogt, whether it's managing the bullpen or not giving Kyle Manzardo enough at bats. I understand that. I do think some of that comes from the front office. That's just my feeling. I don't know that for a fact. But why aren't people giving him credit for keeping this team on the straight and narrow when it could have gone sideways in a hurry? I mean, isn't that the number one job of a manager in baseball? Is to manage the people that you have? I'll answer the question since I work in it. Yes, that is the number one job right now. Yeah. Nobody likes their managerial pitching changes. They never have. And the Manzardo thing, I have to honestly believe that's an organizational thing. I can't believe it's just him. But when we're talking about the ability to right a ship, make sure it doesn't go sideways and get his team back into playoff contention. I mean, don't accept that as nothing, because that's something.
My friend, I am excited for you tonight. I have questions from your family. I'm supposed to ask you something about why do chia seeds have such a high caloric content? Should I ask you that or not? Enough?
Enough.
I mean, your family's all over me when we do these interviews. I just want you to know that.
I know, but that's your fault for answering them.
I know, but it kind of makes me feel like I'm a part of the family. Not going to lie.
Yeah, well.
I feel like I want to ask you, like.
This is one family you do not want to be a part of. I can tell you that.
It's got a real don't feed the animals feel to
it. Is it more of the roses, or is it just dysfunctional roses?
No, we're great. We got good. My family is wonderful. They're good, good people. We do have to put one of my brothers in timeout occasionally.
Yes.
For his ridiculous sports takes. I don't have to call him out on the radio, but he knows exactly who he is.
I want one Thanksgiving dinner. That's it. I just want to hang out. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to kind of sit there and watch.
I would like one Thanksgiving dinner. We have not had dinner together as a family, Thanksgiving fan.
The sports world gets in the way.
For decades. It's just, you know, it happens.
All right, one of the high holies. I'll hang out with you guys, and we'll just shoot the breeze. It'll be great. Goodbye, my friend. We're listening to you tonight. Every word, we're going to critique you on Monday, just so you know.
Thanks, man.